Yeah.
It'd be funny when people say, yeah.
We live. For real.
I heard you on the last word. They be trying to change and remix the name.
Oh, man.
The last word.
The final word.
Y'all boys got me laughing.
The final word.
We got a special guest in the building. No other than Mr. Cal Yeomans himself. Come on now. Clap it up in the chat.
In the chat.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, hey. Hey, where's that it's another one?
Ooh. It's another one.
Another one.
Let's go.
It's Let's another go. One.
Yes, indeed. So I'm excited about this. We're gonna talk a lot of ball.
Ooh,
another yeah. one.
The final word.
How you feeling, Cal?
The final word.
I feel a little bit better now that I got some food in me.
I think I asked you that question probably when you was yumming it down.
Right on the good part.
Bro, mouth full. Done. You're got that too.
Yeah, man.
The final
but glad
word.
To have you. Glad word. To have you. We're going to have some fun.
Glad to be
the
here.
The final oh, yeah. word. Oh, yeah.
The final yeah. word.
Because you know, some people call this
the
a slow period.
Word. The final word.
I don't believe
word.
In that.
The final word.
The final
I think slow
word.
Is a,
Cowboys.
I think slow is a modest thing. I think as long as we talking good football, it's never slow.
Nope. No doubt. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never slow. Plenty to talk about, and I can't wait.
Knock on some wood, man.
The final word.
Yes. Let's go. Another one.
Another one.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. You know I'm gonna hit all the buttons.
Hit the last one.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Let them wait.
It look like you've been having a good year.
Wee.
The final word.
Man, Cal got a new suit, new studio, new marriage. Man.
Yo.
Yeah, for real.
Man, he looking good.
I don't know if you can hear it, but my wife just goes, yay, from across the room.
We didn't yeah. hear him. Hey, but you looking good, man. Look at Cal, man. Woo,
he doing it. He looking full.
Ooh,
we healthy.
A long way from North Texas. A long way. Them hard days. Ooh, now look
You're
at
full
him.
And healthy. You're long way. Full and healthy.
Ooh,
North Texas.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just glad y'all are using new pictures and not some old pictures.
That's why
I had the Justin Bieber haircut.
Now
the final
you
word.
Smoothed out. You really did. You smoothed
the
out.
Final
you
word.
Did.
The final word.
You know.
The final word.
You can
the
tell when somebody got a makeover. Word. You got your nice old makeover. You did.
Guarantee you. It was the ladies. It was the lady. Definitely was the lady.
Always the lady. It's nothing yes, like indeed. A lady to tighten us up, and that's true. That's just true. Women have great eyes.
Define
they do.
Word.
They have great eyes for fashion. They do. It's some things that are gender specific. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully I can get myself in trouble saying that.
Man, you know me. I'm country. I used to wear the white belt with the white shoes, man. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
Alrighty. White belt, white shoes, sweater tucked inside, you know. Let's go.
We coming down the top. Time to play the game.
I just wanna run it up.
Count a check or something.
I'm really in a feel letter. Yeah. When I've been really in the field, a lot of rush, a lot of feel. Lately, I just wanna run it up.
Let's go.
Don't need no deals, I make the deal. Have a ticket to a meal. Lately, I just wanna run it up. Yeah.
Kinda check a song.
Lately, I just wanna run it up.
The song never kinda gets old.
Kinda, no. Yeah, kinda.
Lately, I just wanna
run it up. Run it up.
Need them ones, I need them fives, need them tens,
need
I need that change
to
the safe, got blues
fire
inside.
Like my boy C. Fire it up.
Greens and pinks, it's all the same. I still
change. Take some losses when I play. Charge it to the game.
Mr. Griffin,
I'm with T-Bag. I'm with Kevin. I'm with Bay, yeah, I'm with Jay, yeah, I'm with Chuck, and now still the same, I switch your sides, now it's about loyalty. You switch sides off for the bag, and that's for more to me. I mix Nike with designer, I experiment. You just rock what's on the shelf, and I'm not feeling it. Search for the one, but baby girl, it's nothing real as this. Can't trust a soul, I keep a hammer, call it too legit.
Top flight, city.
I've been really in the field, love the rush, I love the feel. Lately, I just wanna run it up.
Let's go. All right. All right. So, we gonna get right into this. Like, we ain't gonna play no games. So, first of all, Mr. Kyle, I got a first ask you a question.
Guys?
Y'all just did a show, right? On the Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got to ask you a question. That's going to lead it to my first question. Was the B-rolls that y'all, was that a fresh B-roll from practice?
Oh, man. I think most of it was fresh.
All right. Because that leads it to my first question. Avion Collins?
Oh yeah, nope, not fresh B-roll. You see 91 in the background too. You got some Carlos Watkins in there.
Okay. I was just making sure. I was like, yeah. What is? All right. So we could throw that question out.
Terrell Basham was in there. Yeah, that's old.
I was like, what's going on? I was looking at the B-roll. I was like,
I'll tell you what they did. Our producer, Caden, who does a phenomenal job, he went in there and he goes, let me just type up Sam Williams. And the first couple clips that come to mind, boom, that's the one we put in there and made it work. Because that's the thing about working in the NFL that's a little different, is that we're only allowed to use certain clips at certain times of the year. Like, we can't use game film at certain times of the year, and we can only use it like in this specific window. So it's very interesting, like how we use our film and how we have to like bank it beforehand. So yeah, there you go. Old film though, because Avion Collins is the one that's backing up and putting pass sets on Sam Williams.
Yeah, so because I was curious about that, I was like, what's going on? Like, you know. So anyway, now I'm clear on that. I feel good now. Now, obviously, you just had a show before training camp where y'all was getting us ready on the Blitz. So I have the full link in the description of the show that was done. And also, shout out to you and Bill Jones for the new studio. You want to kind of give us a quick little breakdown of that before we get into the content?
Yeah, man, this is really cool. So it's the same studio that we've always done our shows in. But if you see in the background, there's the windows. And those windows are usually what we face. So we've only really used 2/3 of the studio at a time, because there's a video board that usually is back behind us, and it's got like 8 or 12 different screens. I think it's 12 different screens, and we use different video on top of that. And then we use like a different corner that's got like a Lombardi trophy and 4 video boards. But we've never used the window. We've never looked out to the practice field. And this offseason, we put some tint on there so that way it looks good on camera. And it just opens it up. Now it's 360. Yeah. We can use all corners of the studio. We could give some love to some of our great camera ops and production assistants that do a great job too. So I'm excited about it, man.
It looks
things
good.
To 360 mode. You get a little bit of everything. And then, I mean, even when the practices are happening behind there, you'll get a nice little sneak peek in the future.
Yeah, I saw y'all was had tools going on. It's a nice natural look. I love it. I think y'all did a good job. But we gonna get right into it. Go ahead.
We're gonna get like Isaiah and Barry and Nate. We're gonna get them on the pregame show, and we're gonna have whatever's happening in the background. There's always something at the Star going on.
It looks good. But we gonna get into the first clip that we go discuss, obviously. So here we go.
Kyle, is your bigger concern for Dak those interceptions or staying healthy this year?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the interceptions, because starting with the health, he's, for the most part through his career, barring the thumb injury, which was kind of a freak thing, hitting the helmet of an opponent while throwing the football, and then missing those games like he did in 2022. And then, of course, the injury back in 2020. He's been durable. He's only missed a couple of games. He had the calf injury in 2021, so he has missed time in each of the last three seasons. But it's nothing really to be concerned about. Something to be concerned about is the interceptions. He had 15, which, of course, was a career high, tied for the NFL league lead in interceptions. Plus, over the last three seasons, or three of his last four seasons, he's had double-digit interceptions. He needs to get back to going into each game to take care of the football. He can still push the issue. He can still be aggressive. But there are different decisions that have to be made through the course of a game that could put this offense in better situations and especially help out your defense, because when they're faced with short field, they aren't allowed to pin their ears back the same way that Dan Quinn would like to. So I think out of the two things that Dak has struggled with over these last three or four campaigns, it's got to be the interceptions. Take those turnovers away, and for the most part, you're going to see a better Dak Prescott in 2023.
All right, so obviously fire.
That guy's really good. I like what he had to say there.
He sounded good. That boy knows
a little bit about football. Come on.
All right, Big. So obviously we're talking about Dak Prescott and the interceptions. We're going to lead off with you, Big Dog. Here we go.
All right, so I'm going to give Kyle a little pushback on this, though. You my dog, Kyle, but I'm going to give you a little pushback because I feel you with the interceptions, but I think to me it is his health because he's a little bit older. It would be different for me if it was like a 25, 26, but he's about almost, well, he's like 30 years old now, and it's been three strong injuries. I mean, the broken ankle, yes, that was like one of the first major ones, but the knick-knack injuries are starting to come. Then you had the shoulder, the calf, and then you come in with the broken thumb. And to me, that's 3 years, and they've been tough type of injuries. And so I'm looking towards this season, because once you see a player get hurt, it start maybe become a trend. We've seen players that been injury prone, and then they just have freak injuries. That's because they're kind of starting to become an injury prone player. So the freak injuries happen when you become injury prone. So to me, that's a little concerning to me. And that's what I'm really going to be looking at, the health, because we need a healthy Dak Prescott. The last few years, we've missed out on important games because Dak has sitting out. So I need a healthy Dak Prescott this campaign. And that's what I'm going to be looking at, because if there's another freak injury, I feel like that label may start sticking with him. And that's going to be a concern for me going forward.
Now, I had no idea you was gonna fight Cal out the gate.
I'm sorry, that's my dog, but I didn't. We love it.
That's the thing about the question. It is an either or question, at least in that scenario. Which one does concern you more? But for the most part, I mean, both of them are a concern. You want him to stay healthy. You want him to be on the field. But I will put it this way. You talk about how Dak is getting up there in quarterback age. Yes, he's going into his age 30 season. However, look at the last 10 Super Bowl champions. If you look at the last 10 Super Bowl champions, seven of them, maybe eight. I don't know how old Nick Foles was whenever he won his championship with the Eagles in 2018. But seven of the 10 for sure were with a quarterback age 30 or older. Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens in 2013, Joe Flacco, Patriots in their titles. They won three of them while Tom Brady was in his 30s. I know it's Tom Brady, and you've also got Peyton Manning in there as well. Brady winning it again with Tampa Bay, and then you got Matthew Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams. But it's not out of the ordinary to see quarterbacks have success in their age 30 and over season. So, yeah, if he can stay on the field, that's ultimately the number one thing for Dak Prescott. But you also got to take care of the football, too, whenever you are.
For sure.
Because either way, you're gonna hurt your team, and you're going to really hurt your defense. I think this defense is as good as anybody in the NFL, and I'm sure you guys probably agree with that. Especially when they don't have to defend a short field. And if you give them a full field to work with, I don't think there's anybody better than Dan Quinn and his unit to try and slow down an opponent. And they showed that quite a bit through 2022.
I feel that.
I think that the Cowboys play tremendous complementary football when we have sustained drives and we don't have sudden changes. So that part, 2,000% agree with you. If they're on the long field, man, it's going to be very difficult to score, and at best they come away with field goals. Now, one thing that I will say that's kind of unique, I think, to Boss Cowboy Sports in this sense, we did a breakdown. Boss Cowboy actually did a fantastic job on breaking down the interceptions, and he began to talk about the option routes. And he began to talk about also the amount of interceptions that happened because of the option routes. He also broke down as well, looking at the deflections, looking at the tip balls off the shoulder pads. Like, you had at least four or five interceptions because of tip balls, off the shoulder pads, off your hands, things like that. And then the conundrum of the option routes and the quarterback and the receiver not being on the same page. So I think that this is probably an anomaly with Dak Prescott, in my opinion, from what I've seen. And I think that overall, if you look at him coming in as a rookie, he's been pretty judicious with the football most of his career. I think it was a tight situation where he was pressing a little bit. He's forcing. He's trying to make plays. He knows his best time. He knows he's being paid a lot of money. And I think that because of that, you know, maybe you got some of those things.
No, I agree. I think you look at some of those interceptions. Out of the 15 interceptions, I had it charted, and I went back and looked at it this week. But I really want to go back and look at each of the interceptions again. Nine of them were his fault. So nine of those interceptions, you also got to think about it. I mean, he missed five games. So this is out of 12 games in the season that he had those 15 interceptions. So either way, yeah, you're putting it in harm's way. Nine of them were his fault. Some of them were tip balls. Some of them were misreads and option routes, like you said, for the most part. You just got to take care of it in those situations where those nine times it was on Dak Prescott. Because even nine interceptions in 12 games is too much for Dak, especially, like you said, with what he did early in the career and the setup that he had in terms of taking care of the football. He's got to keep that going like he did in 2016, 2017, 2018 before he had some of those turnover struggles the last 4 years.
Man, that's a great observation, especially with the nine INTs, Kyle. I would say this with Dak Prescott. Turnovers are hard to forgive in Cowboys land. And Dak Prescott at some point will have to take the calculated risk and say, all right, if it's inside the 20, I'm going to have to put the team on my back. And they used to say this, go with your bread and butter. Who's your go-to guy? Who's the guy that you know for sure you can literally close your eyes and throw it to? And I think that that's what some of the greats had. Even Troy, he would have a Jay Novacek in his back pocket. And he would know for sure that at the end of the day, Michael Irvin will not let him down if he throws the ball his way. And I think that we need to establish that. And the person that should be that guy, he wears 88 on his chest. And his name is CeeDee Lamb. I'm projecting CeeDee Lamb to make unbelievable numbers for the 2023 season just because there will be no more of the thinking again and trying to keep up and catch up with the play calling. He should already be in the same mode of Dak Prescott of being the person, the go-to guy for him. And I just think that this offense collectively should be a good feeling for the rest of the guys because there should be no more of those stop routes and option routes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would fear injury. That's crazy to say because he didn't start that way, right? But I think that was a one-off. Like, especially when you add it all up with the option routes and the aggression of the system. Cal, I want to ask you a question. With the new Texas coach, do you see that kind of returning to a normal rate of interceptions like he started?
Yeah, I think they're going to make this offense better for Dak. That's the number one thing is benefit your quarterback, benefit
right.
Dak Prescott. So I think, yeah, I think to a certain extent they make it easier. I think Brandon Cooks is another part of this equation.
Better weapons.
That is going to play a massive role. I completely agree with Law there, talking about CeeDee Lamb, close your eyes and throw it. CeeDee showed at times, he wasn't 100%, nobody really is,
right.
But he showed at times throughout last year that he is that guy. I think Brandon Cooks could also be that guy. And that's what's exciting about this is it's been 20 games, guys.
Yeah.
20 games.
Right.
Since a receiver not named CeeDee Lamb has had a 100-yard performance.
Ooh.
20 games.
Ooh.
So if that's the case, you need somebody else to step up and be that target, be that guy. Even, I mean, and that includes tight ends. That includes as good as Dalton Schultz was and as consistent as he was, it was usually 8 receptions for 82 yards and maybe a touchdown. Sometimes he had 2 or 3. That's great. And he was great in the red zone. But overall, the Brandon Cooks assessment, in addition to this Cowboys offense this offseason, I think is a complete game changer compared to what we've seen in the past with these guys. Because I think he even pairs better with a more experienced CeeDee Lamb than Amari Cooper did back in the day. And I will jump out of the cake to say that. I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is better than Amari Cooper. I'm saying the pairing between Lamb and Cooks will be more successful than the pairing was between a rookie CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper in his final season in Dallas.
Did you say game changer?
Game changer.
Hey, I love being a Cowboy.
Big game changer. Game changer.
Hey, let's have some fun. Let's have a good time, man. Let's kick it.
Oh, man. It's
OC.
Let's take a look at some of the candidates.
I'm sorry. Hey, OC.
Yeah.
Oh, just Kyle, just you saying that, you know, just a few years ago.
Wait. Hold on. Don't do it, big. Don't do it, big. You gonna do it. Go ahead.
I said, you know, just a few seasons ago, we was talking about game changer, you know, CeeDee Lamb when Amari Cooper was there. You know, me and OC was like, hey, we see the CeeDee. He's the game changer. We was fighting back and forth, Kyle, all this and that. And guess what? Like a proud papa right now, OC. We feeling real good about that game changer, CeeDee Lamb, don't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. For sure, man. For sure, man.
I ain't gonna fall for the bait. Kyle, what he trying to do is he trying to start a fight. I'm not gonna do it.
I'm here for it. I think you guys should go at it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fall for the bait.
Hey, boss, Cowboy, but tell him who was on the ledge with CeeDee Lamb last year, though. You know,
you jumped on the ledge last year, but we first started it.
We started the script. We're going back to the future. Come on. All right, we're going back to the future. So let's go right back to the receivers that we currently have. Here we go.
Let's take a look at some of the candidates. One of them, of course, the third round draft pick from last year. That would be Jalen Tolbert. And you've got Simi Fehoko in the mix. You got Kevontae Turpin. How do you look at this battle?
Well, I think you look at it as a good problem to have for the Cowboys because all three of these players have had at least a little bit of work in an offense the last couple of years, but for the most part have been relatively unproductive. Jalen Tolbert with just 2 receptions last year, 5 games active. Simi Fehoko, 3 receptions in 5 games active. And then, of course, Kevontae Turpin, who made plenty of impact on special teams but was relatively and sparingly used on the offensive side of the football. It's going to be a task for Brian Schottenheimer and company to get these three involved, but I think the challenge is on the participants themselves because Jalen Tolbert and Simi Fehoko realistically have an opportunity to not only be on the roster and make an impact special teams-wise, but to actually be that number 4 wide receiver underneath Lamb, Cooks, and Gallup. I think right now, just based off of those words from Brian Schottenheimer, he's been impressed with what Jalen Tolbert has seen in talking with him side by side and Coach Prince, the wide receivers coach for the Cowboys. Both of them have seen some improvement from Simi Fehoko as well, but it's when the lights turn on, training camp, preseason, that's when these guys need to take their step forward and continue to improve. Kevontae Turpin, he's just got to remain consistent while working on the offensive side of the ball. That will really help his case moving into the regular season.
So, Cal, since we have you here, one of the questions that I know I want to know, out of the guys you name, at least in these practices, we know these are glorified walkthroughs for the most part, right?
Yeah. Right.
But on the skill position side, you can see juice.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yo.
You can see juice, right? Yo. You can. What's your gut feeling for what? Because I know you said you was clear. We got to wait to training camp for them to separate. You was very clear on that. But what do you see so far at that competition?
I see a comfortability with Jalen Tolbert. I don't know why I can't say that word, but I tried it anyways. But Jalen Tolbert just looks more comfortable in the Cowboys offense. And that's a huge thing because I think in terms of juice, he has more juice than Simi Fehoko does. And Fehoko has been in the offense longer. But I think if Jalen Tolbert is comfortable and he's there with Dak Prescott, he's getting an extra work. He's worked really closely with Brandon Cooks throughout this offseason. I think that pairing could really bode well for Tolbert going into year number 2. You also think about it. I mean, he was a third-round pick compared to Simi Fehoko, who, of course, was a day 3 pick and has been in this offense for 2 years. So I think, like you said, it's going to take up until training camp. That's when this is going to really start to separate themselves. But I think right now I would give the edge to Tolbert as that number four guy, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Well, that is very, very that. I'm going to say this, though, Cal. You know, how many wide receivers do you foresee the Cowboys going with? And then I will be able to go in further.
Oh, that's tough. Are you counting Kevontae Turpin as a wide receiver? Are you counting him as a special team?
Got to, because we already using a special team spot for CJ, right?
Yeah, I think, oh, man, I would say that's tough, man. It really is tough. Because they like using those guys on special team. I'll say six.
Six.
Because I think Fehoko would play a role on special teams. And I think they want Tolbert to step up and take that number four job. They want Tolbert to be that guy. Because if he's that guy, then all's Fehoko that plays some good special team snaps. You got Turpin, who does his thing as a returner. And then you feel better about your wide receiver room altogether with the addition of Brandon Cook. So I think that would be the best case scenario is take six guys, but you got to make them earn it at the same time. You got to have both those guys play significant snaps in the preseason and at least show that they know what they're doing in order to make the roster in the first place.
Well, by that room being just like that, you got Jalen Brooks out there. You have Jalen Moreno Cropper. You also have a Durden kid. It's Brandon Smith out there still. And Dontario Drummond. So you got a big room of wide receivers, and somebody's not going to make it. And somebody's going to turn heads in training camp next month. We can't wait to see who's going to be that person. So I just foresee the Cowboys going with that number six as well.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was Dennis Houston. That was who turned heads, right?
And yep, true.
He ended up getting some snaps. I mean, he was active for a couple of games last year, but he flashed a ton. But even then, you knew that they were rolling six deep, and they had those guys that they really did like, Noah Brown and company, that they felt confident in by his offensively. I think if Dennis Houston can do the same thing this offseason and show that connection that he had with Dak Prescott, all of a sudden, I think he's in that conversation for the number five or number six spot on the roster too, which I think puts pressure on both Jalen Tolbert and Simi Fehoko to make sure to go out there in Oxnard and grab what is currently theirs.
I think that, you know, at the end of the day, man, Simi is a guy that probably is a utility guy. You know, I think that Jalen Tolbert, in my opinion, is the better athlete. I think that he has the best upside, and if he can get a simplified version of what he needs to do, I think he'll be extremely effective for the Cowboys. I think that by his own admission on interviews over the last couple of weeks, he admitted, hey, it was so much, and, you know, having to learn multiple positions with the previous offense, it really messed him up. So if you can let this guy be an athlete and run the 6, 7, 8, 9 routes, I think that he's going to win a lot versus second and third DBs, and he will be a viable threat for you, in my opinion.
I agree. I'm right there with you, because he's got at a disadvantage because he was a third round pick. He wasn't a guy that is necessarily impressed, and he's been around longer. At some point, you kind of run out of time. You run out of tape, you know, to really make an impact. And if he's on the field, that's great. And honestly, he was active for the first five games last year. He looked great in training camp, but then he had those shoulder injuries, and it just ended up pushing his timeline back. But there's only so far you can go before you get pushed off the edge in terms of making the roster as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I feel you. I think this is the make or break year. I've been saying that with Fehoko. This is the make or break season, especially the way Jalen Tolbert has stepped his game up. Yep. We all see it. Agreeing with you, Kyle, we all see it. I mean, you can just look at Tolbert from afar and just see he's more confident. The highlights that you were showing when you were talking at great length with Bill Jones about, you know, the guys that are already in camp, you get to see when he's running the routes. You can tell when a guy is more confident with just in practice. You can see the confidence in practice even when he's running his routes, when he's taking the ball out the air. You just see that he's more he's ready. And I felt as soon as Kellen Moore, and I don't feel like it was all indicative on Kellen Moore, but I just felt like once he could get somewhere where he could get it simplified and just slow down, because I just feel like it was too fast for him. It was a whirlwind. And like you said, they were throwing a lot on his plate. Now with Brandon Cooks, I think that's the biggest addition. You said it again, Kyle. The biggest addition is Brandon Cooks, because not only is he bringing you talent, right? He's bringing you that leadership. He's teaching you how to be a professional. He's teaching you how to be a pro. And I feel like he's taking a guy like a Jalen Tolbert under his wings and really showing him the way. And a guy like Jalen Tolbert is sucking it up and just soaking it up. And when you get that type of knowledge and you have talent, I mean, you got a guy that had 1,400 yards receiving his last year in college. I don't think that was by mistake. So when you see all that talent and then you get the good guys around him, the good veteran leadership, because we have CeeDee Lamb, but Brandon Cooks has been here longer and done it. So when you have somebody like that that can come in and embraces it, I don't know if Amari Cooper, I'm not saying he didn't, but Brandon Cooks seems to embrace this. And I feel like that's a key thing to me. What's your kind of thoughts about that, Kyle?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. And that's exactly the feeling that I've had from Brandon Cooks from the moment he stepped in the door. And that's something that, like you said, Dallas hasn't necessarily had, because Amari was the elder statesman in the room. He was the guy that these young receivers and Gallup and Lamb looked up to. And he didn't have the same sort of, just personality to those guys and the mentorship that I think Brandon Cooks is providing at this point. By the way, that was current B-roll on that one, guys. Just so you know.
Okay. I knew he was going to say it. I was saying it in my head.
What are y'all doing?
He's about to say that's current.
I saw Stephon Gilmore. I was sitting there watching it. I was like, okay, I got to make sure this is right. Stephon Gilmore. Okay, we're good. Yeah, that one was current B-roll. So, yes, Jalen Tolbert does look better in the current B-roll as opposed to last year.
Okay. I did have a question about the receivers. The more I've been thinking about it, Kyle, the more that I'm really starting to believe that the wide receiver room is the most improved room.
All right.
For a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Michael Gallup going into year two coming off the surgery.
Yeah.
A lot of reports of his bounce. We gonna want to hear the confirmation from you. I think a simplified offense is allowing guys to play faster, like Turpin. It's been a lot of reports from you guys, from which I've been seeing out there on his confidence and especially Jalen Tolbert. Because in my opinion, I want to run this by you because you also on a draft show. You remember last year's draft, Kyle. You remember last year's draft had like crazy amounts of receivers. Quality. Mm-hmm. Quality. Like this year compared to last year, night and day. Right?
Yeah.
And Jalen Tolbert in that class was a second round, third round grade on most people's board. So when I put it all together, I'm thinking this wide receiver room is getting ready to sneak up on the NFL. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
I hope you're right. I really do. And I don't think you're far off, because I do think Tolbert takes the biggest second year step. Out of a lot of those rookies, because honestly, you look at that draft class as a whole, you got contribution from a lot of those guys. Damone Clark, Deron Bland, Tyler Smith all played significant minutes. Sam Williams, he continued to flash as well throughout his rookie season. So Tolbert was kind of the missing piece to that, you know, the missing piece to that puzzle. So I think he has a chance to take the biggest second year jump out of anybody. And if that's the case, you're right. I think the wide receiver room has improved and has taken an extra step. I think the only two position groups that you could look at to maybe challenge that notion of them being the most improved room is cornerback, because of what you've seen with the addition of Eric Scott Jr. this year as a rookie. I really do like his fit in the Dan Quinn defense. Deron Bland taking a second year. And then you got, of course, Stephon Gilmore, who, if he still plays at a high level, could provide a 1-2 punch that nobody in the NFC can match. So
good,
I think
point.
The cornerback group could be in that conversation. And then the defensive line, the interior
front,
defensive line, with the addition of Mozzie, and then you're bringing back Jonathan Hankins for a full season. Because remember, you traded for Hankins halfway through last year. You made that pick.
Right.
that made that trade, and then all of a sudden your run defense was better. Now you have both those guys to rotate in and out, and they don't have to play three downs at a time. I think you're a better run defense already. So I think it's between wide receiver, interior defensive line, and corner on the three that could potentially take that next step as a position group and really make this team better.
We got one more segment, and we're going to go around and talk about this.
Hey, before you jump into that segment, I just got to slide this in.
Go for it.
For an isolation situation, Michael Gallup, how's he looking out there? Because you talked about Jalen Tolbert, up in his game. But Michael Gallup last year, he didn't look like the Gallup that we was accustomed to seeing. So
could it
be that Jalen Tolbert could fight for that third spot, or I'm just talking too much right now?
You're not talking too much. Don't worry.
Come on.
Michael, from what we've seen out of Michael Gallup, because I agree with you, he was very disappointing last year, but there was a reason behind it. At least you kind of knew he rushed his way back. He wasn't completely healthy. And honestly, I respect the hell out of him, just the fact that he was able to grit through an entire season, because he did not look like the Michael Gallup that we had all seen and become accustomed to previously. I'm going to tell you guys right now, and I'm on camera right here, so you can zoom in if you want. You can leave it there. I don't care either way. I think Michael's going to be back. I really do. He could be back to being Michael Gallup that he was a year before. And that's a huge plus for this offense.
Yes.
This is based off of what we've seen. And like you said, glorified walkthroughs. It's OTAs. It's mini camp. Let's not get too out of hand. But just off of the juice that you've seen off the line of scrimmage, running the sharpness, I really do like what I've seen from Michael Gallup. And I think there's a chance he could really be back in the fold again. And I think that would be a huge plus for Dak Prescott moving forward.
Right. Hey, and Cal, I trust if it's any place where I trust watching competition in shirts and shimbles, it's 707 and 101s.
Yeah.
So I trust your eyes. If you seeing that jump, I believe it. Even though obviously they're not contacting each other yet and physical yet, I think the fact that you can see those guys competing, you can see the feet work, you can see the bounce, and that's what I've been hearing to Law's point. Are you seeing the bounce back with Gallup where he's going to get the ball? You seeing it?
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing from it. You can't talk to the contact. You can't talk to the physicality because – they haven't been putting hands on these guys, and they're not supposed to. They also aren't elevating either. Keep that in mind. They're supposed to stay on the ground through these practices. So they're not jumping. They're not getting up and making contested plays. But you're watching right off the line of scrimmage, just the way that they take off, their break, their burst. I think if you're able to do that, then all of a sudden you're at least getting a good picture of what Michael Gallup can bring. And from what we've seen so far, it's crisp and it's tighter than what it had been in previous games, at least back last season.
Oh, appreciate it. We got let's go into the next clip real quick because you talk about running backs. Here we go.
All right, let's move on to position battle. Of course, Tony Pollard is the lead dog at running back. How about the battle for the backup running back position? You got the veteran Ronald Jones signed in free agency. You got Malik Davis back. You got Rico Dowdle back. You got Deuce Vaughn, the sixth round draft pick out of Kansas State. What are you thinking here?
Well, I'm thinking, one, this is going to be the most intriguing battle, I think, out of every one of them, because it's going to happen over a short period of time. I mentioned how you need Jalen Tolbert and Simi Fehoko to step up with the lights on. The running backs only get to step up when the lights are on, because even when they're at training camp, it's mostly paved out in front of them. There's not a whole lot of contact with these guys. It's being in the right place at the right time, showing that mentally they are grasping what it takes to be a number two running back at the NFL level. Ronald Jones has done that before, but he only had six games last year with Kansas City, 17 total carries. So he's relatively unused over the last 2 years. And then Malik Davis, Rico Dowdle, they've had some training camp battles before. And then I'm excited to see how Deuce Vaughn could add some more let's say versatility to this offense, because out of the backfield, he could do a number of things.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, how do you see it playing out at the running back position? What we got?
Ooh, that's tough. And one thing that I didn't even mention during that clip is the fact that without Tony Pollard in the fold, those guys are going to have plenty of opportunity to tote the rock, right? I mean, those guys are going to share those carries that Tony would normally get.
Right.
So I think right now you have to point to the guys that have been here before. Rico Dowdle, Malik Davis. I think right now I'd put Davis above Dowdle just because of his availability last year. But I think Ronald Jones, and he brings a veteran ability to this team as well. And this is his hometown team. He grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is the team he grew up cheering for. So I that brings an edge to his game as well, just based off of the practices. And I mean, again, I feel like I don't have to say it anymore, but like with a glorified walkthrough and especially a running back, they don't get touched. They don't get challenged the way that they would through the course of an entire game. So I think right now I would just give the edge to the guys that have been there. But really, Ronald Jones and Deuce Vaughn have every opportunity to make this roster going into training camp as anybody else would. I think this is the most wide open and also the most confined reps to decide the most wide open training camp battle that we're going to see.
Cal, I trust your eyes on this. I mean, you got eyes and ears everywhere. You know, if it was a position group of concern, this will be it for me, just to be honest with you, because Tony Pollard, we're hoping that he's back 2,000%. In my opinion, and I want to get your take on this too, I don't know that he's a 2025 carry guy. I don't think that's the best way you use him. To me, the joker or the ace is really Ronald Jones. Like, how good is he? Does he have gas left in the tank based on what you've seen thus far? Can he come through and be the in-between tackle or relief back for a Tony Pollard? I think that we need to really solidify that. And if not, hey, we need to look at making a move pretty quick. That's just my opinion. But what are you seeing and what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't think having Tony Pollard as a 25 carry back is really the best thing for your offense, right? I mean, you want him to still bring an explosive possibility every time he touches the football. And he does that whenever you can limit him to under 20 reps, under 20 carries. Can he continue to put up 200 carries per season? I think that's a possibility as long as he stays healthy and on the field. But you want somebody to supplement it. So who's going to be the best 1-2 punch
right
for Tony Pollard? And who would that be for you guys? Because I don't have the confidence, and I've talked about the confidence that I've had in Jalen Tolbert, confidence that I've had in Michael Gallup to take a second step. I don't know if I have a ton of confidence in Ronald Jones to this point. And again, we haven't had a chance to see a whole lot of it. Mm-hmm. But just based off of what we've seen on the film, and you guys are showing it right now, honestly, I watched this game a couple weeks ago just to see what Ronald Jones has. I don't know if he has that complete juice left in the tank. And I want him to prove me wrong, Hard. But right now, I want him to be a physical back who can eat up carries. Then I think that could also fit into the fold as well. Mm.
Yeah, and Kyle, just real quick, man, I'm going to keep it real with you, man. I'm scared that he doesn't have enough juice left in the tank based on what I've seen. And I'm be honest with you about that. Nah, and I hope he proves me wrong. I think that, man, we need to supplement some type of way because Deuce Vaughn is a change of pace back, right? He can give you stuff out of the backfield. I think he can be good on special teams. I think you can use him out of the backfield just like you said. I agree with all of that. But I don't know if Collins is that power in between the tackles back that could take good relief. So that's a position of concern for me. I think that you really need to figure out what you got with Ronald Jones pretty quick. And if it's not looking like he's going to be that guy, then you need to make some quick adjustments.
No, very quick. Big.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've been concerned about this because the first thing I said was, how do Cowboys fans feel if Tony Pollard goes down? Ooh. I think, and I don't want to wish that on anything, but at the end of the day, he did have an injury. And if we're in the season and he goes down, I don't know how we're feeling good about that room, somebody be able to come in and tote that rock. Ooh. I don't have no confidence in Ronald Jones. I'm sorry, Kyle. I'm going to go a little farther than that. I don't have no confidence in that. Yeah. And I'm worried
and
about,
you
know,
that.
You know what I'm saying? And then I like what we saw with Malik Davis last year, but he's still unproven. I think the wild card to me, and I think Law has mentioned this, the wild card to me, if he can stay healthy, is Rico Dowdell. Because to me, he has the size, he has good speed, he has breakaway ability, runs hard through the tackles. if he could just stay healthy, I want him to stay healthy so he can continue to show us something, because he does very well in camp, but then here comes the injury. Like right. we were talking about, you could be an injury-prone type guy.
Right.
Here comes the injury to set him back once again. And it's like, come on, man, we need you to step up, because you got the size, speed, run between it. You have that ability, and I need to see it there, because if not, you need to be looking at that waiver wire or them cuts time during training camp to see who's cutting, seeing who's released, and maybe you need to pick up somebody off that wire because that's going to be a better situation. I mentioned Dalvin Cooks. I'm going to throw it in there, Kyle. I didn't want to throw it in there, Kyle. I didn't. I was just gonna be quiet
God,
about it.
Please,
but I gotta
no,
throw it in
no,
there. I know they don't want to no, spend no money, Kyle, and I get no, it. You got $10 million and Tony Pollard, but daggone it. I still love that Dalvin Cooks over here for 1 year, man. Just 1 year, Kyle.
I'm on the record of saying, I mean, I don't run this team. I really don't. And I don't want to run this team. I'll tell you that too. But I would love to see Dalvin Cook in this backfield, because I don't think
you hear that, boss?
I heard it.
I don't think there's a better fit. Now, I know the money's got to work out, and I don't think it would, honestly, because like you said, you're already tying up $11 million in your cap. But let's say you sign Tony Pollard to a long-term deal before the July 15th deadline, and all of a sudden his cap hits a little bit less. Maybe you go and spend some of that extra money on a guy like Dalvin Cook. Be great, but I don't see that happening. I really don't. Now, right. One thing that you brought up that was really interesting, that I mean this isn't a secret that the running back position is tight. I mean, this team knows about it. I mean, I brought up my draft spreadsheet, and through the draft there were rumors about each of these guys being talked about in the war room. Zach Charbonnet from UCLA, okay. Devin Achane from Texas A&M, Tank Bigsby from Auburn, Kendre Miller from TCU, Roshan Johnson from Texas, Ole Miss Zach Evans, Israel Abandaconda. I mean, every one of those guys had been mentioned in that war room at some point, so they know they needed a running back. Like, they knew that was going to be a problem. And I can tell you, just based off of when they had those conversations and when those picks ended up happening, they were taken before the Cowboys even got on the board. So that's how you ended up with Deuce Vaughn, which I still love the pick, and I think the value in the sixth round is phenomenal. Oh. But at the same time, there are challenges just to having it. He's going to have an uphill battle to fight.
Hold on, OC, we got Lau. I got you after this.
No worries.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, I was going to say, like you said earlier, you really would not see any of these guys being able to excel, because there's no hitting in practice. There's really light training camp situation and scenario. So you probably would not see this until dress rehearsal, preseason game two, on whether or not any of these guys can see hole, hit hole, and burst and get upfield. And I think that we are evaluating these guys off of the old running back situation, with Ezekiel Elliott being the bell cow and Tony Pollard coming in as a relief runner here and there. I don't even think we were running split backs. But now I think that with this running back scheme, that we will see more of a three back set, and we'll see all three of these running backs running. And you can keep that number low with Tony Pollard anywhere between 14 and 15. Attempts they're rushing, and still use them in the backfield for catching, for sure. And when you look at even Deuce Vaughn production in college, it was right there with Jahmyr Gibbs. It was right there with Bijan Robinson. So I think that in a pinch, if you use him as a rotation situation, may be just okay.
You think Deuce? Okay. What you got on that, Kyle?
Well,
oh, that was Lau. OC, I forgot you next.
Yeah, go for it, OC.
No, it's okay. I'll be really quick. You know, it's three things that come to mind. One, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Kyle, because when we had Ron Broaddus on, he said that it's no way, the ship has sailed, they're not doing this. What about bringing Ezekiel Elliott back?
Pause it. I got something on that. Just pause. I got you. Trust me. I got you on that.
Let me move to my second one then, boss cowboy. Let me move to my second one.
Yes, sir.
And so And so my second one is this, is that when we got around the fourth round, right, when we got past round three, there were still several of these good backs available. So obviously the Cowboys didn't see it as a great enough need to pull the trigger into the sixth round. But then the life, the string of hope that I have, I guess, to make this all work is the creativity of a Brian Schottenheimer in terms of his run game and how he utilizes these backs, rotates them in and out, figures out their strengths and weaknesses and what they can do, and he puts them in positions to be successful. So that's what I think. I think one of those things, you know, one and then three has to happen for the Cowboys to be sure up in terms of that run game.
I think that's a big thing about it is trying to find who fits best. And that's ultimately going to be the decision that Schottenheimer and McCarthy have to make, is who fits best with Tony Pollard. And I think the three back set is not out of the question. I think having all three of those guys active on game day, it at least gives you options. So if one does go down, the other one doesn't have to completely carry the load. And you can also rotate in throughout the course of a drive. So it's interesting. I think it is wide open and there are a ton of options, but it ultimately is going to come down to what happens in Oxnard. And then, like Law was saying, I mean, it's going to happen in the middle of these preseason games. You're going to hear me and Bill Jones and Isaiah Stanback on the call for these games, and you're going to hear us yelling good things or bad things about the run game, because I think you're going to get plenty of opportunities.
Okay, I gotta play this clip. This clip is coming from Bitches Love Sports Podcast, okay? So I felt funny saying it. I ain't gonna even lie. It came out
why
like
is my picture, why is my picture the lower third up there?
Young ladies love sports.
That is the name. That's the name. So, and I respect it.
That is the name.
So no disrespect. It was just hard to say. You know, I was like,
BLS Sport.
BLS. There you go. I feel better now. But check this out. This is a fantastic clip, and I think Brian Broaddus hit this dead on the head. Here we go.
I'm a big believer in the culture aspect of it. I understand what happened with Zeke. You know, I understand, you know, if Zeke was not making, you know, $16-17 million a year, you know, maybe things would be a lot different for him. Everybody absolutely in that building loves Zeke. Jerry Jones loves Zeke. Everybody loves Zeke. You know, they moved on because of the financial considerations, though. They're in the situations now where, you know, Tony Pollard, we'll see if Tony can carry the entire weight of the, you know, the running game. You know, that's going to be one of those spots that, you know, maybe if Deuce Vaughn and others, you know, Jones don't step up, you know, we'll see if, you know, in fact, that they go out, you know, Rico Dowdle, those guys, you know, they've got to find somebody to play behind, you know, behind Pollard, because Zeke was a guy. I mean, they did a great job splitting carries. I know Zeke didn't have the big yards per carry and all that, but the toughness, the first downs. I remember a play in that, but the toughness, the first downs, yards per carry and all that, but the toughness, the first downs, the big yards per carry and all that, but the toughness, the first downs. I remember a play in a game. I can't. It was one of the games. It was, you know, where they run the ball three straight times with Pollard on the goal line. He doesn't score. What do? They put Zeke in on fourth down, and they sit there and score with games. It was. You know, where they run the ball three straight times with Pollard on the goal line. He doesn't score. What do? They put Zeke in on fourth down, and they sit there and score with Zeke. You know, they have got to figure out who that's going to be. You know, Hunter Lipke, who is this guy going to be? Who's going to be the physical short yards? So this is a position I think that is, if they don't get out of it in the preseason, what they envision.
Yeah.
This could be where you see him trade some of the surplus with the offensive line, defensive line, secondary, somebody trade to try and get a back that they could pair with Pollard and not make Tony have to carry everything, in it. But I think they're going to miss Zeke for that physicality and that ability, that toughness that they need.
What I loved about that take is that he talked about the problem, then he talked about the solution, right? Which is going to come down to what you were saying, Cal, is that y'all going to be coming, y'all going to be commentating real time. What you seeing, right? So,
yep.
I think the world and Cowboy Nation should have their eyes on the compliment to Zeke on the physicality.
Yep.
Because I think
it goes back to.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, go for it. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I took an awkward pause. Go ahead.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier is you don't want Tony Pollard to carry the ball 25 times. That's not his game. That's right. Not where he's strongest. Right. You want somebody to supplement what he's going to do. And if that's Malik Davis, then great. If that's Rico Dowdle that does it best, then great. If somehow Deuce Vaughn can be that back, I mean, it doesn't look like it fits his skill set at the moment, but I mean, people have counted out Deuce Vaughn throughout his entire career, but he's still shown up and put up great production. If whoever it ends up being that's the best complement to Tony Pollard, that's who's going to win the job. May not even be who's the most productive back. It's who can take the pressure off of Pollard best and who can be that physical 1-2 punch.
Okay. I got one more clip. Can you do one more?
Let's do it.
All right. I want to be courteous. You giving us a lot of your time. Here we go. The one that everybody, the whole world is talking about this. This is nonstop in Cowboy Nation. Best five.
Starters on the offensive line. Terrence Steele healthy. So he goes right in at right tackle. You got your 10-time Pro Bowler Tyron Smith at left tackle. So Tyler Smith moves into left guard. You got Tyler Biotish, a Pro Bowler last year at center. And you got another multiple-time Pro Bowler, Zach Martin, at right guard. You like the looks of that?
I love the looks of this. I would agree completely. I think if Terrence Steele is available, this will be your starting offensive line going into week one. Tyler Smith and Tyron Smith, it's a good problem to have those two playing together on the left side. It's the dream scenario for the Cowboys, especially if they can both stay healthy.
Boy, that new set looks so good. I just want to say that. That new set, y'all rocking that new set. Don't that new set look?
How about the camera work, right?
That's what I was looking at. The angles, man. Y'all are killing
clear.
It.
Ooh. That stuff look clear.
It did.
But you know what you cut off? You know what you cut off, boss? Right. What's before that? He was finishing, he was about to say, I love the lineup if, and then you stopped it, and it's going to say healthy.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Scenario for the Cowboys, especially if they can both stay healthy. Let's talk about if Terrence Steele is not healthy. That's where I think things could maybe change up a little bit. I think at that point, Tyler Smith, because he is comfortable at the tackle spot, he's the best option to move from guard to tackle. Uh-huh. They've played around with this combination specifically during minicamp. They've put these guys out on the offensive line, so I believe this is where they would go first. That's Matt Farniok. They have played around with Matt Wiletzko. They've maybe possibly put a Josh Ball in there, but I think Farniok is the best suited, the best fit to go in and play next to Tyler Biotish. Biotish, Martin, of course, they don't go anywhere. And then Tyron, should he be healthy as well going into week one, he would flip from left tackle to right tackle, a position he played late in the season last year. So I don't know if this is a great opportunity. It's probably not exciting for Cowboys fans, but this is probably what would be the case if Terrence Steele isn't healthy, and that, of course, is a possibility should he not return from injury this offseason.
There it is.
Bam. Yes, there it is.
Bam. You done there solved it is. World peace. You solved world peace with that.
We've been saying over here, Kyle. Me and OC been screaming, ain't we, been OC? This is what we've been talking about. This is the reality of what we've been talking about.
Kyle is 2,000% spot on. He's like one of the only people that I agree with on this, 2,000%. Yes, Matt Farniok, people sleeping on Matt Farniok. He's the best combo run pass blocker in terms of a guard that they have, in my opinion. And Kyle, I don't know if you dug into this, you probably did, but he had the highest relative athletic score coming out when he came out of Nebraska, which is like shows the metrics of speed, explosion, and all that stuff. And when he played, he was super scrappy. Yes, put Tyler Smith butt back at left tackle because he's pro bowlish if he gets another year there. And then let Tyron Smith play on the right side, which is easier for him, in my opinion, than having a hold up by himself on that island. Yeah. He has a shorter end to the quarterback. It's a shorter and much easier for Dak Prescott to see pressure. If he gives up pressure on the right side than it is the left side, let him play over there and let's ride until Terrence Steele gets healthy, man. 2,000% agree, man. Love your take.
Ah,
Yes.
Yes.
I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. OC.
We like you. Like, yeah. Yes. We like you.
Yeah.
Wait, man. Hold on. It's something that's going on that's horrible. It's a big sin that's happening right now in the church. It's some sinning going on. We got to talk about this. It's some blaspheming going on. We have way too many people here to not hit that like button. Come on now. Cal, listen, Cal is giving us juice. Like, we've learned so much juice just from listening to somebody who has his eyes out there, you know? So, Yeah, hit the like. Just hit the like. All right, but go ahead, Big. I know you had something on that.
Oh, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Me and OC, man, we've been kind of locking it down these last few weeks, for real, for real. I'm going to forgive OC on Zeke because he switched up on me, but I'm going to forgive you on that, OC.
But we talking about this offensive line.
That's what I was speaking on when we just had Kevin Gray on, when we had Gelkin on. This what I've been trying to say. Aisha, this what I've been trying to say. Tyron Smith, Broadus on that left side. No, Tyler Smith is your left tackle now. We saw it. We understood. We were worried about it in training camp last year, but when you saw him on that island and they threw him out there, it was like, okay, he's good. This is where he needs to be. This is where he needs to grow and be great, and that's why I want to keep him there. It's all good with the position flex. That's all good. But Tyron Smith is, man, he is, his body is old, y'all. I don't know why.
Man, everybody, I'm just letting y'all rumble and talk.
Hold on.
Let me finish.
Because you're just going to be talking, law, on this. When Tyron Smith is all, that body is wearing down. It's better on that right side. Let Tyler Smith be great on that left side. And just like OC said, now I've been saying this with Matt. He can play that left guard. If we got by with Connor McGovern and if we got by with Connor Williams and everybody said they were super average and we still had top rushing offenses, I don't see why it can't work with that. And Tyron Smith be on that right side where that feel better right there on the right side until Terrence Steele comes back. And then you can decide what you want to do from there because, hey, Tyron Smith is a great swing. I don't know why everybody is – oh, let Tyron do it on his own. We got to look at the body now. He is not physically the way he used to be, and we got to live in that world now.
Cal, you see what you started? Because it's a whole lot of combinations. It's a whole lot of combinations that was not considered. Like, well, let's go.
Oh.
What? Hey, what, Big? Like, what about, like, did I say something?
Talk to him, Kyle. Just go ahead and talk to him, Kyle.
But I'm just saying as an option, bro, because you know they're going to have to consider
it.
It is
an option. This is an option. But would you rather want a Matt Wolesko who's green or a Tyron Smith who's been there?
I like the Wolesko option. But you don't take Tyron Smith off the field if he's healthy. You just don't. That's just not how it goes. I mean, you keep him on the field if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, then honestly, Matt Wolesko is the next guy up. I think that should be the case at right tackle. I think what Matt Wolesko has shown us that if he's healthy, he is also a capable right guard at the NFL level. A capable tackle at the NFL level. He has actually slid over the guard, but I don't think that's going to stick because, you know, he's like 6'12" and a half. Like, I mean, he's massive. So I don't know if he's going to stick at guard or not. But you put him out at right tackle if Tyron's not healthy, which could be a case. But this is a problem the Cowboys have had the last four seasons is this revolving door to offensive line. You just expect it to happen. That's why we have these conversations, and that's why – there are so many options because you have to have options at this point. This day and age of the NFL, you got to find a way to make it work and patch it together. And right now, when you have Tyron Smith with the body hanging down or wearing down the way that it has, and you've got him at left tackle where he's comfortable, unless you have to move him to right tackle, that's it. One of those two spots, there's Tyron, and then you're making it work from there.
Law, what you got?
Well, four out of the five guys last season moved around on that offensive line. And I hear what Big Game James is saying, and I heard what most of you guys are saying, is to kick Tyron Smith to the right side, right? And in case of Terrence Steele being hurt or not all the way ready to play. But here's my other thoughts of this. What happened if Tyron Smith been playing at right tackle and Terrence still get ready to and available to play? Then what you do with that offensive line? Do you say, Tyron, hey, let's kick you back to left tackle and slide Tyler Smith back inside? Or do the Cowboys get kind of cute and smart with it and kick Terrence Steele at left guard? You see, it's so many things that can go real south with this. So I just say at this point, we can just hope that Terrence Steele is okay when he comes back, because if Tyron Smith is playing at that right side and we are winning, it's going to be some contentions.
You think Steele going to be ready?
No.
You think Steele is going to be hurt for the rest of the season?
I don't think Steele going to be ready
for the rest of the season.
I think Steele going to start off on the pup list.
He ain't going to be ready his first four games, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't see him ready.
So let's say week five, and that is against the 49ers, Steele is healthy. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Where do you play him?
Right tackle.
I would right go tackle. Back. I'd go
and
back
where
to
you move and what you do with Tyron Smith?
Move him to left tackle.
Moving to left, and see how – let's do this, because let's if you're saying that, Law, and let's say they got Farinot, and he steps his game up, right, and they're looking good. Why can't you, if the offense is rolling and the team is looking good, why can't you put Terrence Steele right at right tackle? And then why can't Tyron Smith be the swing if the offense is running good? I don't understand that. I think you look at how the offense is playing and see what it is right there before you decide if you're going to make any kind of movements, if you're going to slide Tyler Smith right back and automatically at left guard, if that were to be the case. I think you look at the offense and how it's running and how it's producing before you try to say, Tyron Smith, you go right at left tackle.
Kyle Yeoman just said, he don't see Tyron Smith on the bench at all. I just don't see.
I don't
see that as well.
I don't either.
I don't see Jerry Jones doing that.
But what about
you're probably right.
Tyron Smith playing left when Steele came back? Because that was the first thing that y'all rolled out, right?
Yeah.
That was assuming help, right?
I think the biggest thing you want to avoid at this point is you don't want these guys playing three different positions.
Right.
That's what would happen if you needed Tyler Smith to go from left guard to left tackle, then to right tackle. That's not going to happen. They're not going to utilize him in that way. They may have him play two positions.
Yep.
They may have Tyron Smith play two positions.
Right.
But then other than that, they're making things easier for the rest of the offensive line. And honestly, if you had to have two guys play different positions, those are probably two of your best three guys to do so, including Zach Martin being the other one. But you never want to move Zach Martin because he's locking down the right guard spot. So that's what you're trying to avoid. Yes, there are so many different combinations, but at least have it to where the combinations keep it simple for the individual. And right now the individuals are Tyler Smith and Tyron Smith that would end up moving. But if you keep it to just two positions, then I think it makes it easier along the way.
Let me say,
what's your
one
thoughts
thing
on Awesome Richards and Chuma? Oh, go ahead.
No, just I'm gonna be quick. I'm gonna be real quick.
Go for
real
it.
Real quick. I'm concerned for Mike McCarthy. When I really measure the Kool-Aid, I'm concerned. Because he spent a lot of time talking about run the damn ball, run identity. But when we really broke down this show, the concerns that we have the most is in the running game and in the blocking. That's...
Agreed.
And see, this is the thing. He's good at managing crisis, but I don't think fair is not the right word, because life is not fair. We all got to get over that, right? But it almost seemed like there needs to be an infusion of an investment somewhere, because two things not looking sure. I don't know about that, Kyle, especially starting this hard. You know, you saw our record. It's not an easy, you know, schedule. So what's your thoughts on that? Like running back and blocking being an issue based on this conversation. What's your thoughts?
Well, think about this too. Two of your key pieces that hold down each of those units are both coming off of injuries. And that's Tony Pollard and Terrence Steele.
Exactly.
So I agree with you. I mean, the thought process right now is that, yes, this is a team that wants to run the football, but I think they're better set right now to throw it, which is – very interesting. I mean, they right. added the guys like right. Brandon Cooks. They added Luke Schoonmaker, who I think will be a difference maker on offense.
Wow.
They're better set to throw the ball, at least through the first 4 weeks of the season. But it's and Mike's talked about this a lot, too. 17 games does wear and tear on a football team. I mean, it wears and tears on everybody. That's a long season. So, yeah, if you throw the ball a little bit more than you run it in the first four games, that doesn't mean they can't establish an identity on the ground
right.
at some point in the middle half or middle parts of the season
right.
and then take that all the way through because right. that's how you're going to show some longevity
right.
is by finding it at some point. You just got to find it whenever you got your guys that are healthy enough to make a push, and I think it probably won't happen until week five or six. Doesn't mean they aren't going to win games. I think they can still win games in other ways, which is how good this team is and how talented they are on paper. But I think there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve from this running game, at least early on, that somebody's going to have to right the ship and have some success.
All right, Lau, whenever you we go get into the final words, right? When you finish.
Oh, no, I have nothing on okay. that at all.
So
no,
we go get into the final words, and I kick it off, if y'all don't mind. So we always finish out giving our final thoughts, Kyle. So first, thank you, and I mean this. This is one thing I like about you, Kyle. You are obviously rising. You obviously are doing a very good job with the Dallas Cowboys, and I meant what I said. You even look different. You look like you got a new stylist. Your hair look different. Your swag look different. Everything. Listen, we remember you from back in the day. You wasn't as GQ as you are right now. I'm like,
I think this is the first time anybody's ever called me GQ, and they're like, even now, I think that's the first time it's ever happened.
No, you pretty GQ, man. You pretty dapper now. You got the new gray suits, man. I'm seeing you, Cal. But this is the main thing that we love about you in this community. You have not changed. You still a man of the people. You still cool. You still responsive. You still talk to us. You're not uppity even a little bit. Like, you're very down to earth as you continue to rise, like a major meteoric rise. You know, me and Big was talking the other day, and we said, you know what, Cal Yeoman could literally be the next Brad Champ. And that's like the ultimate compliment. When we look at your background, we look at your training from North Texas, we look at how much experience you have calling these games, your love for it. It was almost like you was born to do it. But yet you still make time to come talk to us, talk ball with us. And we just really appreciate that. So I just want to say as my final word, thank you for being the type of person that you are, to where you show love, not even because of the content you do for the Dallas Cowboys, but just because you talk football with anybody and everybody that's willing to put good ideas out there. So I just want to say it's my final word. Thank you. And obviously you got a seat at this table anytime you want. It's my final word.
Man, I really do appreciate that. You're going to make me tear up here for a second. And it's a you know, it's funny though. Like, you talk about how you guys remember me back in the day. I remember you guys calling me on back in the day whenever I was just on the draft show and I was just getting started. So I appreciate you guys. I mean, you guys were some of the first to reach out to me whenever I did get onto this platform and I started covering the team that, I mean, I grew up cheering for. I grew up cheering for the Cowboys.
Right.
Texas-born, Texas-bred individual and grew up just a couple hours down the road. So, yeah, this is a dream come true, and I really don't. I don't take a day for granted. I love what I do. I love providing good content, and I love interacting with Cowboys fans, Cowboys Nation. You guys do a great job of bridging the gap between guys that put out incredible content and then also really have a great connection with the fans. So I've always had a great respect for you guys. I was even telling my wife earlier, who's sitting on the couch with my cat, about 12 feet that direction. She was like, who are these guys? And I was like, man, they've been around from the beginning. I was like, man, these guys are great. I love hopping on. I will always take that seat at the table whenever you guys will have me. For sure.
Wow. Yeah, love it.
Appreciate that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, man, my final word is, listen, it was fantastic how to talk some ball with you. You know football. You know your stuff. It's great to talk to high IQ people, that man are just in the game and that they're doing it every single day. And so I really appreciate it, man. I think that it'll be interesting to see some of these position things we talked about in terms of guard and the running back position. I'm super excited to hear your feedback, and I also follow you in these preseason games and kind of get your take vicariously that way in terms of kind of what happens and where do we go from here. So appreciate you having on, coming on, and salute to us, man, from us to you, and we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, this already, Kyle's my dog, man. Big ups to you, man. I really appreciate you. You know, jump right in, holler at you, jump right in. Like, hey, let's do it. That just means the world to myself, like myself, boss, we're talking about. It's just real how quick you respond. You like, let's do it. That's just an awesome feeling that, you know, we have somebody that's up there doing this thing that still reaches out to community. But a couple other things that I really respect about you, Kyle, and this is my final word. Very rarely, when I was in media school, very rarely do you come across people who have a radio voice that can talk to you in a regular voice, and you don't think that radio voice is irritating. You know what I'm talking
right.
about. Like, when they talk and they have the radio voice, they're like, oh, my God, stop talking. Stop. I get it. You just sound like a radio right
now. You're a radio
now.
Guy. You feel we what get I'm it. You're we a radio. Get it.
We get it. We did it. I said, Kyle is the rare one that has a radio voice that I can sit down and have regular conversation. Right. I say, dang, yeah. dude, you got a radio voice. Stop talking like that.
It's like so he knows
that
better
is amazing.
Yeah, that's right? real. No, that's real. He don't take it too far. It's like
right. It's, just right. It's perfect. It's like porridge. Right there. It's just right. Yeah.
It's so funny.
So I really appreciate that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I first started, this is going to make you guys laugh. When I first started, I would read the YouTube comments every once in a while just to like get feedback, which of course you guys know is probably not a great idea.
Just getting up. Right.
And one of the first ones that I ever saw that really stuck with me was like, man, who is this fake DJ jockey voice that's leading the podcast? And I was like, guys, listen, this is how I talk. Like, yeah, there's more pronunciation. Come hang out with me. I go to a drive-thru. Like, if I go to like a drive-thru, I'm in the drive-thru in Whataburger. I'm like, can I get a number one with cheese, ketchup, mayo, and extra honey butter sauce on the side? Like I order in a pronunciation voice. So yeah, that one's always stuck with me because he's like, get this DJ voice out of here, and I'm pretty sure he had an expletive in there as well. But that was kind of the early example.
You ought to say how you like people. Me now. You know what I'm saying?
How you like me now?
Yeah, man.
Everybody's
entitled to their own opinions.
Hey, but one last thing too, Kyle. I love how you do the high school football. You know, I've called games and I call games as well. And I've always admired about not only do you do the Cowboys, you do a lot of other things out there, and especially with that high school football. I really love what you do with that. So I just love how you're a jack of all trades. You're able to flex and do a lot of things, and you're great at it. So once again, man, we appreciate you taking out the time to be able to talk to us this long. Come down and flex with this man and keep killing it out there with the Dallas Cowboys. I watch and listen to you as soon as you drop them notes. Like, hey, training camp notes. I'm already copying and pasting and putting on the sports page.
Nice. I love it.
Yes, indeed. Kyle, you are a superstar. And, hey, I heard you call even baseball games. And you got it, man. And that voice is very recognizable, and when you hit me up at Oxnard last season, it was wonderful, man, for you to stop and hit me up about certain things, and I really appreciate that. And hey, continue to grow, and we really appreciate you over here joining us in this community, in this space, so that people can see you sit back and lay back with us, man, and have a good time. So all of this is very wonderful, and I really appreciate you, and I thank you for joining The Final Word, man.
And before we get up out of here, before we get out of here, we do have Clarence Hill coming tomorrow, right? So we also have Botch coming next week with the volume, so on the 27th. And then after that, we have Sky coming. So... And we have others that's coming that we not gonna reveal yet, you know, but y'all stay tuned. You know, we are talking a lot of ball around this time. But that definitely was the final word. Y'all stay tuned for more. OC, please don't leave. I got something I need to show you once we finish.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Technical difficulties on my end, but we got it going. Let's get it.
Can we check or something?
Shout out to you, Coach Mark. Appreciate you.
I've been really in the field, lot of rush, I love the feel. Lately, I just wanna run it up. Don't need no deals, I make the deal. Half a ticket to a meal. Lately, I just wanna run it up. Yeah. Kinda check a song. Lately, I just wanna run it up.
Count that too, count it up.
Lately, I just wanna run it up.
Need them ones, I need them fives. Need them tens, I need that change. To the safe, got blues inside. Greens and pinks, it's all the same. I still save and roll my change. Take some losses when I play. Charge it to the game. I'm with L, yeah, I'm with T-Black, I'm with Revan now. I'm with Bay, yeah, I'm with J, yeah, I'm with Chuck and now. Still the same, I switch your size, now it's about loyalty. Size off for the bag, and that's worth more to me. I mix Nike with designer, I experiment. You just rock what's on the shelf, and I'm not feeling it. Search for the one, but baby girl, it's nothing real as this. Can't trust a soul, I keep a hammer, call it too legit. I've been really in the field, love the rush, I love the feel. Lately, I just wanna run it up.